Welcome to Mrigashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. This podcast is a tribute to our fantastic fellow professionals, colleagues, and friends. I'm Charu Raizada, and this podcast is brought to you in association with DigiTales. May is being observed as Mental Health Month. How does that concern us, you may ask? After all, Mrigashira is for communication folks. As most of you may agree, communications happens to be a front runner in the stressful jobs list. Stressors like deadlines, client and leadership expectations, or at times stress around proving one's worth in the organization just because we deal with the intangible results, can be rather overwhelming. And this makes it difficult to unwind in the always on world. But our mental health is in our hands, and managing it is a continuous process. It's okay not to be okay. And to know more, stay tuned to this conversation with clinical psychologist Narendra Kinger, founder of mental health NGO, Talk To Me.
Hello and welcome to Mrigashira, Mr. Kinger.
Thank you, Charu. It's a pleasure to be here talking to you this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining in. I really want to talk to you about some of those things which, while conversationally we've been talking about it, but I think it's time we discuss this further. And I'm going to refer back to 2017 when the President of India had affirmed that India was facing a possible mental health epidemic. Now, based on a study, he had said this, which revealed that 14% of India's population suffered from mental health ailments. I mean, this could be depressive disorders, 46 million people, 49 million for anxiety disorders. How do we need to handle this next pandemic in making?
So, Charu, absolutely right that when the president spoke about 14%, there are all indications that say 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6. So when we say 1 out of 5 is almost 20%. And if you say 1 out of 6, it is almost 14-15%. More than 15%. So yes, definitely, there's a huge amount of mental health issues in our country. And yes, I think it's taken very really serious epidemic kind of proportions over here. There's a real great urgency for government, for individuals, for policymakers, for corporates, for people in media, for almost everybody to make mental health a priority. Because till now, we have actually neglected it and we've gotten by. And we have kind of managed to function within the chaos. But I think it's high time now that a mental health integrated response is very, very critical to functioning in our economies and in our countries. And it shouldn't just be that, corporates have to get back to work and people have to kind of find their balance and so on. So it's not should not be just focused on financial recovery, but I think it should also be focused on emotional and mental recoveries. I think there's a huge need that mental well-being should be promoted strategically rather than random efforts there. And I think another factor which I really feel is very critical is that poor people, those who have been hardest hit by the pandemic, their mental health really needs to be looked at, and interventions have to be developed to treat all these people who have been impacted. We all need to come together, and individuals and companies and families and small groups and large groups, everybody has to clearly talk about mental health. There have to be well-defined pathways in terms of assessment and access or service. First of all, the stigma about mental health issues has to go away. My experience largely has been, Charu, that people actually hesitate to seek mental health support or mental health services. Because by and large, it's like we want to cover up that such a thing really exists in our country. We need to understand that we have to use the power of the internet or whatever tools which are available to us today to kind of add them as value add to mental health services. So I think it's very, very critical. I just want to highlight over here that whichever age group we are looking at, so from a clinical perspective, like I work with young children, I work with teenagers, I work with married individuals, I work with middle-aged and older populations. And almost everybody, one of the things that comes up while we are talking to them is that the pandemic has really taken a toll on their physical, emotional, social, and mental well-being. So I think, let's be very clear that the next 5 years are very, very critical. And India really needs to focus on getting this act together so that we can take care of our population.
You talked about, you know, making these services accessible to the poor. And I think that's why you set up Talk to Me, to cater to the poor and focus on clients who cannot afford counseling and psychiatric consultations, as well as to create awareness about mental health. Commendable initiative for an equitable society. Tell us about some of the initiatives and major learnings.
Charu, we started Talk to Me in 2018. And the whole idea was that I've been in practice for many years, and I found that there are a lot of people who kind of are unable to seek mental health services because of the financial cost or because they don't have the economic wherewithal to undertake this journey. So we are exclusively catering to who are from the deprived sections of society and want services in the sphere of mental health. So we have counselors, we have clinical psychologists, we have psychologists, psychiatrists, special educators, etc. Now, while we are setting up services for the poor, a lot of people came up who, while they connected with us, saying that I am not poor, but I cannot afford the regular charges and you'd like to pay some amount to the NGO. So then we came up with this pay-as-you-can model, where people who really can afford some money, but not the regular fees, can also consult, and the money which they pay to us is kind of channelized back to helping people in the community who have financial stress. Our first project was a school, slum school, where there are 1,800 children who stay in that slum or around the area in various slums. Every day, counselors go talk to the children and kind of figure out what needs to happen. And we did assessments and things like that. But due to COVID, the slum school shut down for the period. And then we moved to working with the police. And because we found that the police were under tremendous stress during this entire COVID period, and we took on the project of working with a local police station where almost 200 plus people are working. They were almost working 24 hours a day. And that was the next project where we went to the police station, started talking to the policemen on duty, off duty, with their families, with their children, and kind of help them to manage their stress and deal with the day-to-day grind that they're going through. We also have worked with several state-run and privately managed women's shelters, where a lot of women who have undergone abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, etc., are brought through the judiciary and they're taken care. And our counselors go there, talk to them, counsel them, assess them, and those who require help, those who require medication. Then also, there are psychiatrists who are helping Talk to Me provide these services at a highly concessional or practically no fee. We have also started working with an orphanage. There are almost 100 orphans are being taken care, and we are only focusing on providing mental health services to these orphans. We have also done a couple of projects where we work with corporates, where we done, say, 3-month projects where we work with their employees in terms of sessions for anxiety, depression, how to manage stress, so on and so forth. These are over Zoom, and we've had really about 400 people participating in each of these workshops.
So let me on that note ask you, there can be and should be no compromise when it comes to self-care. Yet we tend to sweep our stressors under the carpet. So in our day-to-day, what are the imperatives to for a stress-free or rather better managed work-life?
I think this whole thing of focusing on work-life balance has become more critical than ever before. I think work-life balance really doesn't mean that you must have equal number of hours of work and equal number of hours of fun or play. It's not that. It's basically actually in a broader perspective, it's about prioritizing things as per their importance. So when we start prioritizing, we kind of save time, energy. And employees and employers need to really understand that your own well-being is very, very critical, because when you're happier, when you're satisfied, this in turn will impact your performance and behavior. I think this boundary of managing your work and home is very, very critical. But today, work actually invades your personal life, because with this whole technology which enables constant connection, it's very important that we set up professional and personal boundaries. So what are the outcomes of not having work-life balance? One is fatigue. So when you overwork, you are actually going to be constantly tired. Your ability to work productively, think clearly, will not be up to the mark. And this can take a huge impact on your professional reputation. The second thing is poor health, physical health, mental health, stress. And you can end up developing what we call as lifestyle condition. Substance abuse, substance misuse, use actually increases. And this can lead to lifestyle disorders. Losing time with friends and loved ones. So what are some of the strategies? I think we have to all manage our time. If you have to do certain things, make sure that you have enough time to get it done. Don't try to overschedule yourself and kind of have one meeting running into the other. Second thing is learning to say no. I think we Indians really need to learn the art of saying no. We all know that in the Western world, if it's Christmas, 10 days before Christmas, the entire world shuts down. But in India, whether it's Diwali, whether it's Eid, whether it's Holi, people are calling. And I think that really needs to be looked at.
People have started waking up to the power of saying no. And, you know, there was a time many years back, it used to be like the done thing not to say no, but now things are changing. And probably that's going to help even cut down some of the other tensions, right? I mean, I'm just going to refer to a study by ICMR, which just came out a few days back, and which talked about, it was done by India Hypertension Control Initiative, which indicated that 1 in 4 adults in India suffer from hypertension, and only 10% of patients have their blood pressure under control. So is there a link between mental health disorders when you think about high blood pressure?
There may not be a link, but there's a connection. So what I really want to say that if you have hypertension, a lot of people who have hypertension experience mood issues. And sometimes anxiety and depression will be occurring concurrently with people. Also, when you have hypertension, which is chronic in nature, you're actually increasing your risk of heart attacks and strokes. And this can actually also put your mental health at risk, because you're constantly worried, like, am I going to get a heart attack? And people may go for multiple ECG because you suddenly find that you're getting a chest pain, which is kind of makes you anxious. So I think even getting a diagnosis of hypertension can make you anxious. We also need to understand the other way around, that anxiety also leads to high blood pressure, because in anxiety, norepinephrine is secreted in the brain, which is what actually increases your arousal and your activity and your alertness. This also leads to kind of increase in blood pressure. So we need to really focus on managing our anxiety. What classically is told is that every 2 hours of work, you need to just take a 5-minute break, so that all the anxiety that has built up in 2 hours of work kind of it comes little bit under control. So I think anxiety definitely leads to blood pressure to some extent. Now, we also know that there are emotional distress and traumatic events in everybody's life, however you may be placed in life. So, and these traumatic events or emotional states, like you feel angry, you feel unhappy, you feel sad, will also kind of increase your blood pressure. So I think we need to really focus on that. One critical thing I want to highlight, Charu, is that we all need to pay attention to our sleep, because sleep actually helps with hormone functioning and also regulation of stress and metabolism. So over time, lack of sleep actually leads to swinging of hormones, and that leads to high blood pressure. And higher the blood pressure, bigger the problem. That's what we need to look at. Also, blood pressure leads to inflammation in the body, and chronic inflammation actually also can impact negatively your mental health. So I think, yeah, we need to really focus on handling stress. Now, this stress, the concept of stress here is any major change in your life. Now, whether it's moving house, whether it's moving cities, whether it's moving jobs, whatever change, now the body responds to major changes as stress. sometimes even minor. So for example, if you lose a pet, you know, you have a pet, you've lost a pet. I know a lot of people who are now taking about 15 days off to mourn the death of a pet. Now, a lot of people find it very humorous, but I think these are sensible people who actually have realized that even the death of a pet, you have spent 10, 15 years handling this pet, will actually create stress. So death is death, and I think we need to understand. So yes, managing stress is very, very critical in hypertension.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ginga, for joining us today on Megashira. Such really valuable insights. And I really do hope and pray that we are able to start that chain of helping each other work towards keeping ourselves stress-free. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charu, very much.
Hope you enjoy listening to Megashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on megashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead, and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.